This wonderful Christmas day, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church as we celebrate today with great joy the Lord Jesus Christ in flesh appearing. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your church bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. And will you please note in your bulletin that there are no activities scheduled after this service today. And refer to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled during the week and next Sunday. Also, if you wish, you can follow Pastor Otero's sermon today with the outline inserted in your bulletin, which might eliminate the need of your taking notes. Also, one other thing, there will be no New Year's Eve service this coming Saturday. And this will be eliminated this year. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 100, verses 1 through 3. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 87, Joy to the World. Let us continue our worship with hymn number 89, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Thank you.
Will you please stand now as we sing hymn number 93, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we read in the scripture, right in the Gospel of John, and the Word became flesh. Perhaps we read it too many times and we have not paid attention deeply to the meaning of that beautiful statement. You tell us that the Word was God and is with God in verse 1. And then in a simple statement, you said, and the Word became flesh. Today, with the advanced scientific world, they're still trying to find out how. We thank you, Lord, that by faith we understand it. We thank you, Lord, that thousands and thousands of believers across the world celebrate today that the Word became flesh. And for those who have come to believe, O God, we are grateful that that flesh was Jesus, and that Jesus justified our life and brought us back to the Father. Clean and in fellowship with him. Again, Father, difficult to understand. I will say impossible to understand. I remember when I was young and Christmas came around and I don't know why. I think the world never changed. Still, as I hear the news, they don't know why. They think it's a season. They think that everything is different, but Father, nothing has changed. 2,000 years ago, the Word became flesh. And we, the people of God, said, thank you. Thank you because now we know you in a different way. Not so much in the way that we learned in Sunday school when we were little. Now we believe that we need someone to rescue us from ourselves. And that rescue came through Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving us faith. And for those who believe not, Father, we remember that we were there before. And with kindness and meekness, and with a great love and a passion for Jesus, we're trying to explain to them that if we read the scripture, we will read that statement, the Word became flesh. And if we read the scripture, we also believe that God creates faith in our life. The perfect faith of Christ given to us. What a privilege we have.
We are not Roman Catholics or Protestants or whatever. We are Christians because we believe the Word became flesh. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Help us today in this church at Bethel Baptist here in California to celebrate it with a deep passion of our heart. Help those who are listening via the radio, internet, to understand that we love Jesus and that they too can love Jesus if they understand who He is. Father, we do have missionaries across the world, and they too are celebrating Christmas. Some of them are sick, like our brother Fred Lewis, and we pray for his recovery. And for the rest of the missionaries, we pray that they will know that we love them and they are close to our heart. Some of the families of the church are away, and we remember our wonderful lady, Loretta Forrest, confined to a bed in the body, but not in the mind. We pray for her. We pray for our brother Wayne, who is way in Missouri, that he and his family may enjoy the presence with his mother. Lord, we are extremely in prayer for the Goodmans, for Russ and Linda, as they visit Ken Goodman and his wife. His wife, Ken's wife, lost her mother just yesterday. And so, Father, we pray, as Linda and I and Raquel, we talk to them, we pray that you comfort them. In these moments of joy, we pray that they will understand that one day we'll depart from this earth. And if we know Jesus, we are having Christmas the whole year around in heaven. But be with Russ and be with Linda and with Ken and his wife as they carry this moment in a heavy way. We thank you, Lord, for the visitors that have come this morning. Some people I know for years. We thank you for the emails that we receive of people greetings because of Christmas. We thank you for the offerings that have been sent to our church through our listeners. And Father, we pray that each one of them may have peace in their heart that they know Jesus. We thank you those who listen in Salinas and Aptos and Watsonville and Baltimore and New Jersey and Japan. There are many listening today. And we greet them, and we pray that they will know Jesus, the Word who became flesh. Thank you that you give a strength to my wife to be here. I'm no good when she's not here. I'm lost. Almost 45 years in our marriage. And if she's not by my side, I'm lost. Thank you, Lord, that you give her strength. And thank you for her birthday today. I know she gets older, but I will never tell her. Thank you, Lord. You are so sweet to us. Thank you for the family that you gave me here at Bethel. As I share my church with people, they see the joy in my face and they wonder. Well, we spend time together. We talk like a family. We live like a family. We love each other like a family. We have the love of Christ. And through the years, we have needs. And these people have supplied those needs. And some people in the internet and in the radio have sent offerings to supply for the need. And so, Father, bless the offering and bless the giver. And give us a new year with a new excitement for Christ. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of the prophet Isaiah. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 414. We will be reading Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for sending the greatest gift that it was possible for you to send, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we consider the preciousness of the gift, we can only respond with worship and praise and love and obedience, which we are only able to do by your grace. We thank you for the peace we now enjoy with you because of this mighty work of reconciliation which the Lord Jesus has wrought, paying for our sin, not in part, but the whole. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. We thank you for bringing him to this country years ago and giving him a passion for your word, which he has instilled in us. The truth of the living and active word now that has set us free. Bless him and guide him as he brings the message today from the written word. We pray for all those listening, those of us here and those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, and give us understanding to apply these truths to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother, for the reading of God's Word. During this month of December, we zero in on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We presented to you an equation. December equal Christmas, and Christmas equal Christ, and not a holiday or a season. On the first time that we address ourselves on this issue, we talk about the beginning, the incarnation, in John 1:14. Then follows the Annunciation, when Christ was declared. Then last Sunday, we move on in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2 and in verse 11, and we talk about the challenge of Christmas. And as I grow older, and as I watch television and watch the secular programming trying to do something for Christmas, I believe it is a challenge for them. It is a challenge. And I feel sorry for the production manager of those stations and the people that try to produce something that looks like Christian, and they do not know anything about it. The challenge of Christmas. Today, I'd like to focus your attention on that beautiful verse in Isaiah chapter 9 and in verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And I'd like to share with you the Christ of Christmas. The Christ of Christmas. Very important that you understand the Christ of Christmas. Here is my translation of that verse 6. You can look in your Bible if you want to in Isaiah 9:6. But here is a way I pinpoint from the Hebrew verbs how they work out. Isaiah writes this: "For a son has been born for us." Amazing, no? He was not yet born. This is more difficult for the media than anything else. If you think that the birth of Christ Jesus is difficult, get this one. Isaiah is writing thousands of years before, and he says, "For a son has been born for us. A son has been given to us." It's a done deal, fellows. It's not a question. It's done. "And dominion has been laid on his shoulder. And this is the name he has been given." Or it's difficult to translate verbs in Hebrew because the Hebrew language only has one verb. And then the verb moves with intensity. You kill, but then you murder. It's the same verb. It's just adding little lines on intensity. It's no present, past, and future like you have in the Western world. It's just one verb, one action, which has been done, and then changes as you add lines on it. The Hebrews think in different way you and I think. And God said, and this is the name that has been given. Now, here's the Christ of Christmas. Here is the Christ of Christmas. Here's the name of the Christ of Christmas. Now, your Bible says, "Wonderful Counselor." The Hebrew is a little stronger. It's the Wonder Counselor. When I came to America in 65, I lived very close to a place that made bread, and they called it Wonder Bread. Remember? Years ago. So I don't know what it was, so I went to ask them. Because wonder in Spanish is a very strong word. No human being can be declared wonder. Had to be a miracle on it. So I went inside, and I said, "Will you explain me what Wonder Bread can do for me?" He said, "Well, bread has these vitamins and this and this." I said, "Well, no, wonder means something stronger than natural. So what are you saying is no natural in the bread?" He said, "Well, we never think it that way. We're thinking that way because that's legally wrong to say it's wonder." You know, boy, you know, I never knew that America leads by lawyers and they took me and they gave me a lot of bread so I can quiet down. Wonder Counselor. And I want to show you why the Hebrew used that word, which is only applied to a supernatural being. Wonder Counsel. Mighty God. And some people have the courage to say, that the Bible doesn't call Jesus God. I wonder if they cannot read. Mighty God. Then Eternal Father. And the name I love most, Prince of Peace. Isaiah tells us that the Christ of Christmas is not a Christmas tree, is not a Santa Claus. The Christ of Christmas is Wonder Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. So let's talk about it a little bit so we get informed what those names means, and you and I who love the Lord Jesus get to love him a little more. And if you do not love the Lord Jesus, you get to know why we love Jesus. And may God grant to you peace and mercy and grace that you too can believe. The Christ of Christmas, the first name is the Christ of Christmas, is a Wonder Counselor. The word counselor is exactly right, counselor. Somebody who talks to you with the idea to help you. Wonder Counselor. I heard when I was on radio, people saying, I heard when I was in Bible conference, people saying and talking, and overheard people saying, you go to him, just me, you go to him. He's a wonderful counselor. And I accept it. Now, if they call me a wonder counselor, I will not accept it. You want to know why Jesus is calling Isaiah a wonder counselor? I tell you why. As you sit across the table with me, drinking a cup of coffee and eat the chocolate cake and tell me your problem, I maybe listen carefully, and I maybe have an idea what the Bible said about your problem. But when you sit across the table with chocolate and coffee and Jesus is on the other side, you don't have to speak. Let me show it to you. Put one hand in Isaiah, go with me to John Gospel, chapter 2. John Gospel, chapter 2. And the last verse of the Gospel on the chapter, verse 25. John Gospel, chapter 2, and verse 25. The commentary of Jesus' conversation says, and had no need that anyone should testify of man, should say anything about man, for he knew what was in man. Wonder Counselor. He has the ability to analyze mankind's condition without you saying a word. So that means you cannot lie. You cannot lie. You cannot fool Jesus. You can fool me. You can paint the drama to me. And I believe it, but you cannot do that to Jesus. I many times have said to people when they talk to me and they start crying and they start dramatizing their situation, I said, will you tell you just like that to Jesus? And they said, why? And I read this verse. And had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was inside of man. Now, you want to know what Jesus said to some people? I'll show it to you. You are in John 3. Go with me to John chapter 4. Excuse me, John chapter 8 and verse 44. These were theologians. I mean, these were people that carry on their prestige of their theological life. These were intellectual people in the gospel. This was the cream of the cream of the nation of Israel. And when Jesus looked at them, if you look to them, you say, whoa, what a great doctor, what a great professor. But Jesus looked to them and look at verse 44, John Gospel, chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Wow.
Wonder Counselor. My mother, you know, my mother was Italian, tall like me, blonde and blue eyes, fast with her hands. Had two sons, so she had to be. And I was the one who created all kinds of possibilities. Something is wrong. And I said, well, let's study this. And my mother would look to me and said, when you speak to me, don't have hairs in your tongue. You know, you just tell me the truth. And you see that hand over there, you had to tell the truth. These Pharisees, with all their theological diploma, they tried to lie to Jesus. And they tried to talk nice. And Jesus went right to the heart. Wonder Counselor, right to the heart. Oh, you generations of vipers. Amazing. It is amazing. It is almost impossible to understand that you will sit down with a counselor and without you saying a word, the counselor said nothing about your problem, nothing about somebody else. The counselor will say, now here is your problem. See, when you come to counsel to me, don't talk about anybody else except you. Because I want to help you, not somebody else. Not your wife, not your husband, not your children. I got a problem. Well, you got a problem, let me help you. But I'm limited. I only can discern what you said. And if I know you for a while, then I can maybe know how you speak so that I can understand how to put things on the table. But Jesus doesn't. His name shall be Wonder Counselor. He look on it and this is the problem. I wish to bring Jesus to the Congress of the United States of America and look to every congressman and every senator and say, now here's your problem, Mr. Kennedy. Here's your problem, and so here's your problem, Pastor. That's the way you get healed. When you know your problem, go to Jesus. You find him in the Bible. He will not lie to you. Some people came to him and said, you are a good man. And he said, remember in John 3? He said, no, said Jesus. Sir, only God is good. Boy, I tell you, the Christ of Christmas, Wonder Counselor. If you really want to know what Jesus is, just stand before the Bible and read the full gospel in one day. And you will have a dosis of Jesus in your veins. And you cannot escape his discernment and his love. Because he's full of love. The Christ of Christmas, also Isaiah 9:6 says, is mighty God. Now, a lot of Christians, including people who call themselves Christians, you know, I'm a non-denominational man. I'm not talking about Catholics, I'm not talking about Protestants, I'm not talking about anybody. But as I share my life with people, some people said, well, Christ is no God, and you know, the Jehovah Witnesses, one of the associations that they, with the best intentions of their heart, with the best intentions of their mind, they discern that Jesus is no God. And sometimes they knock my door, and I said, is Jesus God? And they said, no. I said, you are right. I'm right? Yeah, he's mighty God. He's no God. He's a mighty God. See, the word God in the Bible, unfortunately, applies to even an idol in the Greek language. The Hebrew, again, has three or four words that are locked only for the heavenly God. But when you talk in the Western world, the word God, Deus, applies to anybody. To Diana, Deus, and the Parthenon in Greece. And so how do you distinguish? Will God call him the mighty God? Well, God, a mighty God, is a God who controls nature. Well, let's go to Matthew's Gospel. In chapter 14, page 571, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, page 5:71 and see this mighty God in action. See it for yourself. I'm reading from verse 25, Matthew 14. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. You got it? Now, if you are a scientific person, you say, wait a minute. What comes to the mind of a chemist? You know, I love physicists. I'm a civil engineer. And you know the molecular system expressed to you and the atomic weight of every mineral determines how much they weigh. You weigh more than water, therefore you should sink. But the verse says here, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out of fear. I would cry the same thing. But immediately, verse 27, Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. Guys, it's me. Now, Jesus thought these people knew that he was God. You know, we know that God is God. And something happened to us and we panic. Don't we do the same that the disciple did? Hey, if you have God in your side, nothing is a problem. But, you know, we panic. We're human. And this guy panicked. He said, guys, it's me. How are you? Don't you know who I am? I'm God. If I ask all of you, do you believe that Jesus is God? You say, yes. But in a given situation in your life, something happened and you forgot that God is with you. And in you. We do that. Verse 28, and Peter, you know, Peter, he's a scientific fellow, answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, I still don't believe it. It's amazing, no? It's you and me here. If it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. Now he's mighty God. He controlled the supernatural physics of this world. Gravity means nothing for Jesus. He is mighty God. Remember John 6? Let's go for a moment, John 6. This is amazing. This is your Jesus. This is the Christ of Christmas. John chapter 6. And you remember that some people need to be... Jesus went in a place and there were people without food. In John 6, verse 5, the Bible said, then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we go for lunch that everyone should eat? And he said to test him, for he himself knew what he will do. And Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them. There's a lot of people, Jesus. That every one of them may have a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? We don't have enough. Like if somebody come to visit in your home and it's time for dinner and you don't have enough food ready. And oh boy, what do I do? Put more potatoes in there. Well, what do I do? Well, look at what Jesus did. And Jesus made, verse 10 said, made the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down and numbered about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragment that remains so that nothing is lost. Wow. When I'm talking that Jesus is mighty God, when the Bible said Jesus is mighty God, he is mighty God. What do we learn? We learn that by being mighty God, he does the supernatural. That's what we come to prayer. That's why on Wednesday night our church pray. We pray for the things that we cannot do. Jesus is mighty God. You have a son who is sick. You have a wife that don't behave right. Or a husband that doesn't behave right. Or a son that is lost somewhere. We come to prayer. Why? Because we believe that the same Jesus who transformed the bread can transform our family. That's what we pray. Christ, the Christmas, is a mighty God. The Christ of Christmas is eternal Father, said Isaiah. Eternal Father. Look in John now, in chapter 1, and in verse 4, they give you, he is the Father of life and the Father of light. John Gospel, chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Now, let's go to John Gospel 5:26. That will explain life. John Gospel 5 in verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. See, now we have to change the phraseology. And when Jesus said in John, in him was life, and he was the source of life. He has life in himself. He is the source of life. Life in himself. He is the eternal Father of life. He has life in himself. And then verse 4 also talks about he is the light of men. We have to go all the way to the end of the Bible to understand that in Revelation 21 and in verse 23. Revelation 21 and verse 23. The Bible says in Revelation 21:23, the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated. The Lamb is its light. He is the source of light. And in heaven, we do not need PG&E. I just put it down so that you understand. No PG&E in heaven. They are broke if they go to heaven. Because Jesus is the light in itself. He's the Father of eternal life and the Father of eternal light. But also the Bible says that Christ is the Prince of Peace. And there are three areas that I'd like to share with you with that. Number one, in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 2 and in verse 14, the Bible tells us that he brought peace at his birth. Chapter 2 and verse 14. He brought peace at his birth. Gospel of Luke, in chapter 2, verse 14, page 599. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That was the message of the angel when Jesus was born. Glory to God, said the Bible, in the highest, and on earth peace. And the reason that the earth now can enjoy peace is because the Prince of Peace was come. When he was born, he brought peace to us. Then the Bible tells us, in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, 27, page 633, the Gospel of John 14, 27, verse 6, page 633, that he taught peace in his lifetime. Look at what he says to the disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's what he taught. That is why the disciples, they were not terrorists. They don't have weapons. They have peace. That was their weapon. Peace. Peace. People said Jesus was a revolutionary. No, no, no. A revolutionary caused problems. Jesus had peace. And peace caused problems. Some people don't like to live in peace, you know? Peace. Peace. He taught peace. He said, my peace I give unto you. No, a peace that you lay out and outline. I remember I did a ceremony for a young couple. And before I married somebody, we have counseling and so on. And some of you have been married by me, and you know. And in one of the talks, the girl said, let me write down these conditions so that we can live in peace. Well, you write down those conditions, going to be violated the very, very first day. See, peace is unconditional. Unconditional. And that's what Jesus said, I give you my peace, unconditional. My peace I give unto you. And Jesus clarified here, not as the world give it. It's not the standard of the world I give you. I give you God's standard in your heart. So if you're a believer in Christ and your wife is a believer in Christ, we have peace regardless what psychology says about your temperament, about your grandfather, grand, great, great. That doesn't care. If you have peace in your heart from God, you're going to be a peaceful person. And you're going to live a peaceful way with your wife, with your children, with everybody. You maybe disagree. That's okay. But be careful. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? So, young people, before you marry, check very good. Because if you have disagreement, it's going to be bigger when you marry than when you're single. He brought peace at his birth. He taught peace to the people. Not a peace, temporary peace, or conditional peace. He taught unconditional peace by keeping the standards of God. Then he bought peace at his death. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, page 694. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, page 694. He bought peace at his death. As you know, as you look in the Bible for that, as you know, we are born enemies of God because of our sin. Every baby in this universe is born as an enemy of God because of our sin. And for me to be in peace with God, somebody needs to do something. Somebody needs to come with the amount of money that I need to be paid in court so that I can have peace with God. Now read with me Colossians 1:20. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Just a summary of Ephesians chapter 2. Christ made peace with God through the blood of the cross. As I share my life with people and I share my faith, people ask me, you still believe that the blood of Jesus is good? See, when we were unbelievers, not to judge anybody, but when we were unbelievers, we have no idea of what God requires. And so when the Bible talks about the blood of Christ, it means his life. He gave his life on Calvary cross, and he was accepted of the Father. Therefore, if I believe in him, I'm accepted of God, and I have peace with God. Well, let me show it to you. Romans chapter 1, go a little bit. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Look at what the scripture says. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Bible informs us that even though we are enemies with God, there is a great possibility of friendship. It's not on terms that I will write, it's on terms that God wrote about it. And he wrote about it in a way that he provides a mediator between me and God. That mediator is a wonder counselor. The one who looks into you and says, oh, you're a rascal, I know it. Mighty God, I can save. People tell me sometimes, well, pray for this and this, but my son or my daughter or my friend, they are terrible people. So we all were terrible people. Do I give you a description of myself from 12 to 18? You will not have me as a pastor. We were all there. But the mighty God came into our life. And he changed us. Eternal Father, I don't have to look for any man-made plans for heaven. He made it all. He's the Eternal Father. And I have to live in peace in this world because I have the peace of God in my heart. Think about it. I thought many times, you know, I delayed 7 years before marriage until my wife took that heavenly ball signed by all the people on the team. And she said, it is the ball or it's me? And what stopped me, Mary, is that, you know, two becoming one. Have you read that in the scripture? Two becoming one. I was afraid to lose myself and her way of thinking. And I play ball. If I like, I like it. If I don't, you know, it's okay. I can argue. But how can you argue when you're married? You're 2-1. You know, those words, 2-1, really work in my head. They are 2-1. That means before I buy something, I have to check. You know, young people, be practical in that. Yes, you have to check. Yeah, that means before I wear something black, I have to see if she likes it. 2-1. I still make boo-boos with ties and so on, but it's okay. But you know, I have to live in peace. If I want to marry somebody, I want to live in peace. Because I have peace from God. And you know, you don't have to figure out anything. When you're in love and you have peace, everything comes together after 50 or 60 years of marriage. You know, I love to read. I read the book every month. In this month of December, I finished with my good friend, President Jimmy Carter. I tried to understand how did he live in the presidency and why he did things the way he did. I said, I buy the book, I read it, and I write to him. And if I could, I visit with him. Being a Christian, why he did the things he did. I read the book, I don't understand anything. But I do understand one thing that will help us to understand Christ. The Christ of Christmas, Wonder Counselor, Everlasting Father, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. You maybe say to me, Pastor, that's fine, that's in the scripture. But how can I make those statements mine? President Carter was a great believer. He cries in this book about the failures of people around him. And he writes this. He was a science man, you know, first engineer on the atomic basin for America defense. And he writes these words about Christ. I had always understood that we didn't need scientific proof of the existence in character of Christ. How then are you going to understand Christ as a sign man? By reading Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. My friend, the Christ of Christmas can be your Christ by faith. By faith. The president is right. By faith. We cannot analyze. We cannot scientifically prove anything, but we can have it in our heart by faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. If you have no Christ, the Christ of Christmas, I don't mean the Christ of the tree or the Christ of the electric train or whatever. I mean the Christ of Christmas. If you don't have the Christ of Christmas, pick up our Bible from the pew, take it home, and tomorrow, read the entire four Gospels and then call me with the questions you have.
If you have no question, you believe it. If you have questions, then I give you more to read. The whole book of Romans. And if you still have questions, I give you the whole book of Hebrews. And very soon, after you read the scripture, you will come to believe. Some people say to me, well, I'm a science person. I cannot read the Bible. I have to read book of science, sir. If you are a chemistry engineer, you don't read a grammar book to study chemistry. So if you are a human being and you want to know yourself, you read the book of the one who designed you. May the Christ of Christmas, may the Christ of Christmas come to your life by faith. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you gave us an Isaiah, a summary of the beauty and the splendor and the glory of Christ. Oh God, it is beyond my mind to explain everything, but I thank you one thing, that I believe it. I thank you for those who believe it, and I pray for those who believe not, that they carefully will read your word and come to believe. We love them. I was one of them. We love them. Oh God, bless them. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Come, O come, Emmanuel, come.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Come, Emmanuel, come.
O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here, and drive away the shades of night, and pierce the clouds and bring us light. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Come, O come, Emmanuel, come, O come, thou King of David, come,
and open wide our heavenly home, where all thy saints with thee shall dwell. O come, Emmanuel,
Come, O come, Emmanuel, come. So beautiful. And I'm so glad, because the Dulilos used to sing as a family. Now we have a family, and you do have to get in together. All right, let's stand for the benediction. May the Lord give you the blessed Christmas with your family. Father, we are on Christmas Day on church to celebrate the birth of the one that the Word became flesh. Each family in their own way, with their own friends and family, will celebrate this event now in their homes. We pray, Lord, that you protect them as they travel, as they fellowship in their home, that the joy of the Lord be their strength.
as they share their life with others. And Father, we are grateful that we know you, that we know the mighty Jesus, our Savior. In his name we pray and thank you. Amen.